Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We have a majestic and a powerful and a transcendent God that knows everything that we think. He knows everything that we need. He provides us with everything that will help us to understand who He is and who we are, and how we should live in His presence. The English language sometimes is not real good about providing us words that mean exactly what we are after. And the example is the word love. English language has one word for love, and that's love. If you look at some other languages, it has maybe 2, 3, or 4 different words that will describe different ways love is used and what it means. The same thing is true with reference to God and the words that are used for God and what they tell us about God. And every word that is used in the Old Testament and the New Testament that has to do with God has a particular meaning, which tells us something about His power and His majesty and what He's done for us. So we're going to look for the next few weeks about God, the fact that He is a creator God, that He is a God that provides for us, He rules, and there is a God, and the same God is the Redeemer. And that means He provides everything spiritually that we have. He sees our plight, and He does what He can to help us see that. He will not make choices for us. He will provide us all the evidence we need to make an informed choice and a wise choice, if we will but open our eyes and see who He is and what it is that He has done. In Genesis chapter 1, in the first 3 verses of Genesis chapter 2, there is a word that is used for God, and the word is Elohim. It is a plural, that's a plural form of the word that is used. So when God tells us, and it's recorded in Genesis, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," it's a plural term. Us is more than one. It speaks to the fact that there is God the ruler, God the creator. It speaks to the fact that the Son of God is God, as we are told in John chapter 1 and verse 1. It tells us that the Holy Spirit is God. In Acts chapter 5, that's what we understand about who the Holy Spirit is. And in the beginning, they were one. Now, that tells us that they were one. But as we read further into the Bible and into the New Testament, what we discover is what their functions are and what they all do as God. The word Elohim means God of all. And it is the most common word that is used in the Old Testament to refer to God. It means creator and magistrate of the entire universe. When you take the word El, E-L, and apply different meanings or different endings to that word, it tells us about different things about God. The word has to do with ultimate rule over all of the universe. And when we say over all of the universe, that is everything. It's people. It's different created things that God has done. He rules it all. With reference to man, He does not make choices for man, but man chooses based upon the evidence that God has given us. We understand when we create something, or we are with our children, we give them some Play-Doh to play with and maybe to make something and to form it into something. And if you watch a child as he's doing that, and then when he's finished, he wants to tell you, and he's proud of his creation and what he's done. Now, if somebody comes along, like a brother or a sister, and crashes it, and just absolutely destroys what he has made, they get upset. Because it's their creation. And because they are the ones that thought about it, and they are the ones that did it. That's how God feels when our lives are not conformed to His will. Because He made us. And having made us, He has every right to expect that we adhere to what it is He would have us to do. A Creator God. When a person creates something, they usually leave a mark of some kind, some signature. You know, whether it's an actual signature or it's a sign or it's a symbol, or whether it's carving your initials into whatever it is that you have made. But yet they put their mark on it. What God does, He puts His mark on us. We are created in His image, in His likeness. It is the mark of God that we have. And we need to understand that as we go through and we look at God's Word. God has left His mark on His creation. He has left His mark on us because we are not only created in His image, we have a soul. That's different from everything else that He's made. And that tells us about God. We have a soul that will go on into eternity in His likeness. He has given each human being a soul. He breathed into man life. And it's amazing when you begin to look at what God has done, that He, of His own accord, free will, He chose to create us. What a marvelous thing. So if we look at some of the passages in Genesis, let's look at and see some of the things that it says about God. Keeping in mind the whole time that we are a special creation to God. Amazing. We just got through singing a song, "I Stand in Awe." And that's how we should always view God. We are always in His presence, and we ought to always be in awe of who He is and what it is that He has done for us. How amazing is it that what God has done is that He has made the whole universe, but yet He has given to His most valued creation, that is us, He's given to us life and a soul and a stamp that is His image. So if we begin in chapter 1 and verse 1 in Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said," so what you have, in the beginning, God, He created, and what we understand is that He created out of nothing. There was not matter in the beginning, and God just took the matter and formed what He wanted to form. Matter did not exist until God spoke it into existence. God created. But then it also says the Spirit of God. We are told in Acts chapter 5, that the Holy Spirit is God. And we are introduced to Him first in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, the Spirit of God. But then in verse 3 it says, "Then God said." God spoke. It is His Word. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on in verse 14, it explains that to us. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So in the beginning, what we have reference to the fact that there is God, that there is the Holy Spirit, who is God, and there is Jesus, who is God. And thus, the acts of creation begin. Says, then God said in verse 3, said, let there be light, and there was light. How marvelous and remarkable is that? That He just said it, and it was. Out of nothing. God called the light day, and He called, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. That's the first day that He created. Verse 6 says, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning a second day. God said, it was. God made, and it was. God called it, He named it, and it was. And it was the second day. This is God creating. Verse 9 says, then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and He gathered, and the gathering of the waters He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their own kind, with seed in them on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning a third day. Now there's a pattern here that we are seeing. God sent it to the record says that, and God saw it and it was good. What God creates is good. And after each day, He's going to make a statement about the fact that what He created was good. Verse 14 said, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. You ever think about that? One place that I've always thought about that I would like to see is to be somewhere in the southern hemisphere and be able to look up and see the stars. Every picture that I've ever seen about the stars in the southern hemisphere is just absolutely marvelous. God created all of that. He spoke it into existence. Verse 17 said, and God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Again, God saw that it was good. His creation is good. Verse 20 says, then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed. after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God placed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was a fifth day. God. Verse 24 says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good." And then the pinnacle of His creation. Verse 26. He says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the sky, to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the sixth day. Not only has God said it's good, when He finished and when He created man, He said it was very good. You might say, okay, then what does that say for us or to us? Well, the first thing it says is after every one of these bits of creation that we are told about, that it is all good. People try to tell us that God created evil. God did not create evil. God created good. What man did, man chose to do evil. In being created in the image and likeness of God, we are created as free moral beings, just like God is a free moral being. And we have the right and the capacity to choose. We also have the right and the capacity to endure judgment and punishment if we violate what God has created. If we violate His will, that's a choice that we make. It is not a choice that God makes. God said everything He made is good. It is good. But sometimes we come along and we destroy it. Like we said in the beginning, a child builds something. When somebody comes along and destroys it, that doesn't mean that the thing that the child built was not good. And just because we choose to desecrate what God has sanctified doesn't mean He created evil. Because He did not. And throughout the New Testament and throughout the Old Testament, we discover that what we have pitted against each other is we have good and we have evil. God is inherently good, as we've just read. And if we go on to chapter 2, the first three verses, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all of their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed His work, which He had done. He rested on the seventh day from all of His work, which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because
In it he has rested from all of his work, which God had created and which God made. Creation is done. God finished what he set out to do and what he set out to make. This God, all the way through the first chapter and the first few verses of chapter 2, the word for God is this word we said in the beginning, is this word Elohim. And as we said, it speaks to the majesty and the glory and the power of our God, our great Creator God. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 4, and this is, these passages here in Revelation 4 and 5 are just absolutely marvelous descriptions of who God is. Let's just start reading in Revelation chapter 4. We begin reading in verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes round and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, this is their worship, and this is what they are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. That tells us about the very nature of God. That God is eternal. That God is holy. He is far above anything else that we could ever think of. Verse 9 says, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him, Him who sits on the throne, and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. It is by the will of God that we have creation. He created all things. He is transcendent. He is above everything that is. And He always will be. Glory and honor are to be His. God was never compelled by any force to create. He chose to do so. And He chose to bless us. And so then the question we have is, then what do we do with this information? What does that tell us about us? Well, we're created in the image of God. We are told that we worship Him. That's a part of who we are. We are created to worship. We're created in the image of God to express our feelings and to acknowledge who He is. In chapter 5 of Revelation, in verse 9, we are told here about God as well. Verse 9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seal, for thou wast slain, didst purchase for God with thy blood men of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And then, in verse 13, it says, and every created thing which is in heaven and all the earth, and under the earth and on the earth and all things in them, I heard saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our God. He created us. The most significant act and the most significant element of creation is the fact that everything was made without use of pre-existing material. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, it says this: God, who giveth life to the dead and calleth the things that are not as though they were, God spoke it into existence. In Psalm 33 and verse 6, it says, by the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33 and verse 6. God said, and it was. The fact of creation is primary to the teaching that we find in Scripture. And it is significant that Scripture begins by saying that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The worlds were framed by the voice of God. We are also told in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 about Jesus and His part that says, in Him were all things created, all things have been created through Him and unto Him and by Him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. God created us. And when we look at His creation, what we see is we see different aspects of His very nature. God is certain things. And there are four things in particular we'd like to call your attention to. The first thing is that God is transcendent. That means that He's a different kind of being than we are. He is the creator of all things. He alone is uncreated spirit and uncreated being. The very essence of God is above everything else. And there is a distinction between the creator and the created. Paul makes that distinction clear in Romans chapter 1. When he talks about the fact that what man has done is that he has come along and he has, in a sense, desecrated what God had in store for man. Because what man did was they began to worship the creature rather than the creator. We understand in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, talking about God, Paul says to Timothy, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, unapproachable, whom no man has seen and can see. This is God. He is above everything. The Creator God. A second thing is, our God is infinite. Not only is He transcendent, but He is infinite. That means He is unlimited. He's unlimited regarding time. He is eternal. He has no beginning and He has no end. He is above time and sees the whole sweep and the whole panorama of life and of creation. And He sees it all at a single glance. It's who God is. If you turn over to Psalm, the 102nd Psalm, in the 102nd Psalm, beginning in verse 25, it says this: of old, Thou didst found the earth, and the heavens are the work of Thy hands. Even they will perish, but Thou will endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. Thou wilt change them and they will be changed. But thou art the same. And thy years will not come to an end. This is our God. This is who He is. And it's because of this and who He is that we worship Him, that we honor Him, that we adore Him. Turn over to Psalm 139. It's just incredible to me the way that David expresses who God is and his relationship with God. Beginning in verse 10 in Psalm 139. Well, begin in verse 7. It says, "Where can I go from thy spirit? Or wherefore can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee." He's everywhere. He is always, everything that He's ever created is always in front of Him. Doesn't that give you comfort? That this God who created us loves us so much that He is wherever we are. And so wherever we might be, if we are distressed, we can call on Him. He is there. If we are troubled and in anguish, we call on Him because He is there. If we're having difficulty in this life, dealing with what life has dealt us, God is there. If there are times that we have difficulty expressing how we feel about Him, behold, He is there. What a marvelous thing. When we fail to appreciate what He has given us and the opportunities that we have with each other, and we are struggling to be what God would have us to be, He's there. He will never leave us. He has never left us. He will never forsake us, because our God, He is indeed alive. And the fourth thing is, He is unlimited regarding power. So we see that our God is transcendent. He is infinite. He is unlimited regarding space and time. And He's also unlimited regarding power. If you turn to 147th Psalm, 147th Psalm, verse 5 tells us, "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. His strength and His power are greater than anything else. Great is our Lord and mighty is our Lord. And He takes care of us." Because God is transcendent and thus unlimited, He is understandably incomprehensible to finite creatures. That's why we need help. And that is why God has given us His Word to help us and to guide us. We struggle with trying to understand who He is. We understand from Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 that there are some things that belong to Jehovah our God, and there are things that belong to us. We understand in Isaiah 40 and verse 18 that we can look to Him and what it is that He has done for us. and what He will always do for us. Isaiah chapter 40 is a great description of who God is and what God has done. Verse 18 says this, "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with Him?" He's different. He's above everything. Verse 28 says, "Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord and the Creator of all the ends of the earth, does not become weary. He does not become tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord, they will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. This is our God. This is the Creator God that we worship. This is the God that loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. Wish we could always understand that. But occasionally, we doubt. Then we need to go back to Him. Because as we read, He will hear what we say. We call on Him. And He keeps His promise. What more could you ask for than a God that said that He is going to go with us into eternity? A God that sent His Son to die for us. A God who loves us. Which tells us because of that we love because He first loved us. We love each other because He loved us. We demonstrate our love for each other because of the demonstration of the Son of God in what He has done. This great God of ours wants us all to be with Him in eternity to be saved. This morning, if you have not been saved, if you have not been baptized into Christ, and yet you have come to a realization that there's sin in your life, the only way to eradicate that is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and to be baptized in His name. Or as a child of God, if your life is not what it should be and that you need help, won't you please come while we stand and sing?